Take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Today we'll look at the disciples' lifestyle. I'm just going to kind of be very blunt with some statements here this morning. Confessing Christ means we must follow Him to crucifixion. The cross is for all who follow Christ. Christ leads the procession carrying His cross, and we, His followers, walk in His steps bearing our own crosses. We march to death. Now, what are our crosses? They're not simply trials or hardships. It's typical when we say, bear your cross, that we think of a nutty boss or a nutty co-worker that we have to deal with. Or you think about an unfair teacher that you're having to deal with. None of my students ever have that thoughts about me. Or maybe you're thinking about a cantankerous relative, a mother-in-law, to just use that kind of joke, as your cross. But they're not. Neither can we properly call an illness or a handicap a cross. A cross comes from walking in Christ's steps, embracing His life. It comes from bearing the stains because we're embracing the narrow way of the cross. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It comes from living out the business and sexual ethics of Christ in the marketplace and in the world and being different. It comes from embracing weakness instead of power. It comes from extending oneself in difficult circumstances for the sake of the gospel. Our crosses come because of our dedication to Christ. Difficulties are not an indication of cross-bearing. Difficulties for Christ's sake are. We need to ask ourselves if we have any difficulties because we're following close after Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and you've heard me make reference to his wonderful book, The Cost of Discipleship, many times. But in his book he says, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. Now let's look at requirements for discipleship, and we'll begin with verse 34. Summoning the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You will recall that Jesus had asked the disciples who they thought he was and who the world thought he was, and Peter boldly proclaimed that, you, Jesus, you are the Messiah. Then Peter tried to make Jesus into the type of Messiah that he desired. But Jesus was clear and that he must suffer. He must be rejected. He must be killed. He must rise again. And now Jesus is calling us to huddle in, to come in close, because he has something important he needs to say to us. And he describes what it means to follow him. The call is to everyone, but there are also requirements to following after Jesus. We see this in the word if. If anyone wants to follow me, we're going to discover that the demands of discipleship cannot be dismissed. They cannot be downplayed at all. Let's look at the first one. Wants to follow Jesus. The first condition is that a person must want to become a follower. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. The idea of intentionality is implied and involves the will. In order to walk with Jesus, you must first want to walk with Jesus. You say, well, preacher, everybody should, shouldn't they? No, they don't. But we have to want to follow Jesus. The New King James says, whoever desires to come after me. The New American Standard says, if anyone wishes. The New Living Translation says, if any of you wants to be my follower. It's a decision. It's a decision of the will. I love that the call of Jesus goes out to everyone and to anyone. to the curious crowd, to the stumbling but growing disciples, and even to the fake follower, Judas. These three groups are still with us today. Many people are curious about Jesus. Some are stumbling followers but are committed to Him, and a few have counterfeit faith. Notice that Jesus is about to give the same message to each of the groups as He calls everyone to Him. Jesus refuses to sugarcoat the message to make it appealing. He doesn't water it down at all. And notice the order as a disciple is to be a follower. This has the idea of lining up behind the Lord, following wherever He goes. We don't walk in front of Him and then ask Him to catch up with us with our ways and our wishes. No, we get behind Him so that we walk where He walks. We follow after Him, not ahead of Him. Do you have a desire to follow Jesus as one of His disciples? You won't follow Him if you don't want to. Some are not following the Savior simply because they don't have a desire. They don't want to follow Him. Until you want to be a disciple, you will not be one. If you desire Him more than anyone or anything else, you will be His disciples. Excuse me. Bonhoeffer once again saying the same quote, "Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life." Now let's look at the next step. Deny self. Discipleship begins with a proper want, follow Him. Then it moves to deny self. Everything within us screams against these words. Deny is the same word that was used to what Peter did to Jesus. He denied Him. He didn't follow after Him. One Bible dictionary puts it this way: to disown, to renounce, to subjugate all works, interests, and enjoyments. Check out what Jesus said in Luke 14:33. "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that is he has cannot be My disciple." Denying self means I stop thinking I'm always right. I stop living in my own power. I refuse to pursue my own pleasures because I no longer belong to myself. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." In short, I must give up my right to manage my life because I no longer own my life. I've been bought with the blood of Christ and now I belong to Him. John Calvin called the self-denial the sum of the Christian life. I like what Edwin Lutzer stated our prayer should be: "Father, glorify Yourself in my life today at my expense." Most of us, including myself, are fine with glorifying God, but we don't want to do that if it costs us something. We can't fully follow Christ while living our lives the way we please. Who is on the throne of your life? Either itself is on the throne of your life, or the Savior is. It's not a two-seater throne. Bonhoeffer: "Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life." Now, the next one, take up the cross. Discipleship begins with a proper desire, a proper want. Then it involves denying yourself. As if those aren't difficult enough, Jesus next calls us to die. He said, "I don't see that." Well, take up your cross. Crucifixion was a common Roman punishment. It was estimated that during the life of Christ that approximately 30,000 people died on Roman crosses. Everyone knew that the cross was an instrument of shame, of torture, of suffering, and of death. When a person took up his cross, he was beginning a death march. Let's remember that the cross was carried by condemned criminals and ended with a humiliating and excruciating execution. Everyone knew that the person was saying goodbye to everything and there was no turning back. We're called to crucify our self-fulfillment, our self-promotion, and our self-centeredness. We are to die to our rights, the right to be right, the right to take revenge, and the right to fight. J.C. Ryle says, a religion which costs nothing is worth nothing. Christine Hoover is, as you can imagine, a female writer who's written quite a few books, and she wrote these words, "The cross pursues and crucifies my claims on self-rule and self-glory. The gospel, because it by its nature is sacrificial, requires my self-sacrifice. The gospel lays claim to all of us. Christ lays claim to our ambitions, our money, our minds, our work, our children, and yes, even our sexual activity. We cannot lay out for the unconverted a Christianity that will make life better when in fact faith in Christ often makes life more difficult because the priceless value of knowing Him comes at a cost to self. We no longer own ourselves. Everything we are and do must be submitted to someone else, namely Christ." In the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer once again, we live in a time of cheap grace and easy believism, where Christianity is more identified with health and wealth than with surrender, sacrifice, and service. Here's another quote from that wonderful book. When Christ calls a man, He bids him to come and die. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Those were the words of Apostle Paul. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. What's next? Follow Jesus. It begins with that proper desire, the proper want. Then it involves denying self, and then it involves denying self, dying to self, and then it manifests itself in obedience as the disciple follows Jesus. And the verb tense is ongoing, meaning we are to constantly follow Him. It's not something you start one day and you just do it that day and you're over it. It's a day by day, moment by moment commitment. The core of the word disciple means a learner and a follower. And it's an ongoing process. Jesus fought against having false converts by making sure that people knew there was a cost to following Him. I think of the rich young ruler in Mark 10 who came running up to Jesus to find out how to attain eternal life. And Jesus challenged his idolatry of self in the pursuit of possessions. He said these words in verse 22. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. It didn't really matter about the possessions. That was not the important part. The important part was whatever is on the throne of your life and is ruling over you, that's what's got to be removed. I find it very interesting that Jesus didn't chase after him or water down the demands of discipleship. Jesus didn't lower the bar. Commitment to Jesus is costly. Discipleship is demanding. The man was sad, but he wouldn't deny himself or put to death his devotion to material possessions. In Matthew 10:38, Jesus said, "And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Cross bearers are called to follow the crucified one. Discipleship is demanded because we are called to die to our desires. Luke 9:23 adds that dying to self and to sin are to happen on an ongoing basis. If anyone could come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus is not an app that you add to your life. Because He is Lord, He wants your whole life. Are you willing to renounce every person, every possession, and especially yourself in order to follow Jesus? Will you put your faith over your family or over anything else that you have first in your life? What is it that's keeping you to following Him daily, completely? Luke 14:33, "So therefore anyone who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. Now let's look at the paradox of discipleship. Look at verses 35 through 37. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his life? What can a man give in exchange for his life?" Of course, a paradox is a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or a proposition that seemingly invalidates itself, but in reality it doesn't. And so here's the paradox. Save it, you lose it. Lose it, you save it. If you try to hold on to what you have, you'll miss what Jesus wants to give you. When you settle the surrender issue and commit to follow Christ at any cost, you will end up saving your life. We would do well what the Apostle Paul stated as his purpose statement was in Acts 20:24. "But I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." We are to lose our lives in service to the lost as we proclaim the gospel. When we lose that which has always been important to us, we end up finding what we've been searching for the whole time. Speaking of those who are committed to Christ in Revelation 12:11, "For they love not their lives even unto death." It reminds me of the words of Jim Elliot, the missionary who was martyred in Ecuador. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Jesus asks us two probing questions in verses 36 through 37. He's kind of using an economic formula here. He's talking about profit and forfeit and return. You could gain everything and lose your very soul. You could make a lot and end up in hell. And here's the question: will I spend my life for the Savior, or will I waste my life on this world? Nothing could be more opposed than this to society's norms for us. The world says, look out for who? Number one. Save yourself, love yourself, pamper yourself, live for yourself. The world's most famous author of the 1930s was William Somerset Maugham. He was called by his family members Willie. His professional name he went by was Somerset. He was an accomplished novelist, playwright, and short story writer. His novel of Human Bondage is considered a classic. His play, The Constant Wife, has gone through thousands of productions. He was a man who lived for his own refined taste, his own comforts, and his own sexual perversions. In 1965, at the age of 91, he was still a fabulously rich person, although he had not written anything in years. he still received over 300 fan mails each week. What have life brought to Willie? What has life brought to Somerset Maugham? The London Times carried this excerpt by his nephew, Robin Maugham. He writes this, "I looked around the drawing room at the immensely valuable furniture and pictures and objects of Willie's success had enabled him to acquire. I remembered that the villa itself and the wonderful garden I could see through the windows, the fabulous setting on the edge of the Mediterranean, was worth over £600,000. And this was in 1965. Willie had 11 servants, including his cook, Annette, who was the envy of all the other millionaires. He dined off for silver plates, waited on by Maurice, his butler, and Henry, his footman. But it no longer meant anything to him. The following afternoon, I found Willie reclining on a sofa, peering through his glasses at a Bible which had very large print, and he looked horribly wizened, and his face was grim. He said, 'I've been reading the Bible you gave me, and I've come across the quotation, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the world and lose his soul?" I must tell you, my dear Robin, that that text used to hang across the opposite of my bed when I was a child. Of course, it is all a lot of bunk, but the thought is quite interesting the same." And Robin Maugham goes on to describe an empty, bitter, old man who repeatedly fell into terrors, screaming out, "Go away! I'm not ready! I'm not dead yet! I'm not dead yet! I tell you, go away!" He acquired everything that the world had to offer, but it was empty. Let's look at the cost of not following Jesus. Look at verse 38. "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." There is a cost to discipleship, but there's even a greater cost to not following Christ. We're called to confess Christ. One way to confess and profess Christ is through believer's baptism. We're telling others, "I have followed Jesus. I'm committed to Him." Let's declare with Paul in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." When Paul was in prison, he wrote these words of encouragement to a young follower, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:8. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." If we deny Him now, He denies us at judgment. We must stand with Him. We must make a commitment. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. Let's look at three action steps really quickly. First of all, salvation. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you confessed your sins and asked for forgiveness? I didn't ask you, did you join the church? I didn't ask you if your parents or your grandparents are Christians. I didn't ask you if your spouse is a Christian or your children are Christians. I asked you, has there been a time in your life when you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and become your Lord and Savior? If there has not been, then you, my friend, are lost and will be denied by Jesus when you stand before Him at judgment. Today can be that day of salvation where you can take the first step of discipleship by trusting in Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior. Second, let's think about surrender. Each day we encounter small and unexpected invitations to rescind surrender. Our mistake comes when we consider these invitations to be trivial matters. It is our daily invitation to deny ourselves and surrender our wants that prepare us for the larger risk and invitations that God may ask us in the future. We deny ourselves. We surrender. We say, Lord Jesus, I want to live for You today. And whatever little things that come my way, I want to make sure I choose to follow Jesus. And then the sacrifice that each of us should be willing to make. C.T. Studd was a missionary to China, India, and the Sudan. And he said, we will dare to trust our God, and we will do it with His joy unspeakable, singing aloud in our hearts. We will have 1,000 times sooner die trusting only in our God than living trusting in man. We must confess Jesus as our suffering Messiah and our Savior. We must embrace the life He exemplified and calls us to. We must bear our crosses because we are living like Him. We must lose our lives for Him. If we confess Him, the Son of Man will rejoice in us. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. The call to discipleship is costly, but totally worth the sacrifice. The question is, will we make the sacrifice? Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its ability to speak to our hearts. And now, Father, I pray that You would be with us as we sing this last song of commitment. Father, may it be a time where we reflect. And Father, if there's someone here today that does not know Christ, I pray that they would seek out me or one of the deacons and have a conversation about how to follow after Christ. Father, I pray that each one of us that are already believers would make a commitment that we want to be Your disciples, that we want to follow You, that, Father, we want to deny ourselves, that we want to die to self. We want to be obedient to You. That, Father, we would surrender. We would sacrifice. May we make this commitment even as we sing. For it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.